9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring today. Robert Half is here to help. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Hours after the chaos at the U.S. Capitol, Congress has certified President-elect Joe Biden as the winner of the 2020 election, with Vice President Mike Pence leading the proceedings.
To those who wreaked havoc in our Capitol today, you did not win. Violence never wins. Freedom wins.
We'll have reaction from Washington, D.C., world leaders, and the business community.
Having this process go and continue smoothly is critical to not just the political transition to power, but the ability of corporate America to also continue its business.
It's Thursday, January 7th. I'm Mark Stewart with the Wall Street Journal, and this is What's News. Early this morning, President-elect Joe Biden's Electoral College victory was certified by lawmakers.
117th Congress, the chair declares the joint session dissolved.
The vote came after lawmakers were forced to halt debate and take shelter after pro-Trump rioters breached the Capitol building. A woman who was shot by Capitol Police during the unrest has died, according to D.C. police. They added three more people at the protest died due to medical emergencies. Dozens of people were arrested. As the events unfolded, Facebook and Twitter both removed posts from President Trump and temporarily locked his accounts. YouTube also took action. After Congress certified Biden's victory, President Trump issued a statement committing to an orderly transition of power on January 20th, despite disagreeing with the outcome of the election. There was also a wave of resignations from the Trump administration, including a top national security official and the First Lady's chief of staff and press secretary. There is a lot to digest, so let's bring in Capitol Hill reporter Siobhan Hughes. Siobhan, good morning.
Good morning.
Siobhan, let's first talk about what happened once the all clear was given.
The senators had been locked down in a part of the Capitol complex to protect themselves. As soon as the all clear was given, they marched back to the Senate and House chambers, determined to complete the process over the evening, with the Senate majority leader saying, "We will not be kept out of this chamber by thugs, mobs, or threats." They resumed where they had left off with the debate over whether to certify the results from Arizona. That was followed eventually by a debate over certifying the results from Pennsylvania. And then shortly before 4 o'clock in the morning, Eastern time in Washington, D.C., Congress certified the results, and that finished it.
I want to focus on the tone, because we did see a shift among some lawmakers. For example, Senator Kelly Loeffler, a Republican from Georgia, said she would not challenge the results. Here's what she said.
When I arrived in Washington this morning, I fully intended to object to the certification of the electoral votes. However, the events that have transpired today have forced me to reconsider, and I cannot now in good conscience object to the certification of these electors.
Siobhan, was she alone, and did some lawmakers still maintain their objections?
So Kelly Loeffler was not alone in taking that position, although she was the clearest spoken and most vocal about it. We also saw people like James Lankford from Oklahoma, who had been part of the group of objectors, decide he was not going to object to anything. We saw people like Ron Johnson, who had originally been part of the group of objectors, decide that he was not going to object to anything. So they were not alone. That said, there were some Republicans who held their position. Most prominently, Josh Hawley of Missouri. And here's what he had to say.
For those who have concerns about the integrity of our elections, those who have concerns about what happened in November, this is the appropriate means. This is the lawful place where those objections and concerns should be heard.
In terms of taking responsibility for what happened, what are the conversations taking place on Capitol Hill?
Two things were striking to me. Number one, Republican senators who had been the staunchest allies of President Trump began to say that he was the responsible person. You heard Senator Tom Cotton from Arkansas, one of the president's closest advisors, say the president needed to tell the truth to the American public and accept that he had lost the election. You heard Kevin Cramer say that he had gasped over President Trump's attacks against Vice President Mike Pence. I will note, though, that on the House side, it was somewhat of a different picture. And you heard House Republicans offer up theories to the effect of the media had incited violence and it had not been Mr. Trump, or even promote a fringe theory that the protesters were not Trump supporters, but they were affiliated with Antifa, the anti-fascist group that's more associated with a leftward type of political leaning. That, of course, is false.
Siobhan, we saw a strong reaction by Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter last night toward the president. Facebook said it removed a Trump video message to his supporters because it contributed to the risk of violence rather than diminishing it. And Twitter warned it could permanently suspend Trump's account if violations continue. What's the significance of this?
So the social media companies locked the president out of his accounts for a while and took down some of his content that had included statements about fraud in the elections and kind of acted as a dog whistle to his supporters to encourage their activities. It was the strongest statement yet, and it's possible it was a recognition by the social media companies that the notion that a person is a leader of a country doesn't necessarily exempt you from the sorts of restraints that a social media company might want to impose. And then there's a policy angle to this, too, because the social media companies are really under the gun in Washington, D.C. because of statutes that offer them wide latitude to publish content without repercussions. And there may be some understanding on the part of the social media companies that they have now gone too far and they have made themselves an extra target for legislators.
As far as the situation in Congress, Siobhan, what's next?
You heard lawmakers around Congress talk about things like the need to heal the country, the need to stand firm and protect the institution of government. You know, I found myself wondering if another step might need to be taken too, and that is kind of reminding people about the foundational aspects of the government and what it's there for, because the situation in Washington, D.C., and I will tell you, I am reporting from Washington, D.C., felt very, very tenuous, and it is not the type of situation that allows for stability in society.
Siobhan Hughes, we always appreciate your reporting. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
The reaction extends from Capitol Hill to Wall Street. We'll hear from some of the top business leaders after the break.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. Robert Half is here to help. Our recruiting professionals utilize our proprietary AI to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Looking at the markets around the world, no significant impact from the disruption in Washington. The 3 major U.S. indexes all closed higher on Wednesday amid the turmoil at the Capitol. Some of the biggest names in business have condemned the violence and called for a peaceful transition of power. Let's talk about reaction from corporate America with markets reporter Caitlin Ostroff. Caitlin, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mark.
Caitlin, we're hearing from some heavy hitters, including the leaders of Apple, Google, and Bank of America. What's the message here?
The message from a lot of corporates and a lot of businesses has basically been, you know, let's move on. Let's transfer power peacefully. Let's stop violence and let's continue with the inauguration process of President-elect Joe Biden. So we've heard from, you know, chairmen such as James Dimon from JP Morgan Chase, who's saying, you know, there needs to be a peaceful transition of power. There needs to be an end to violence. There needs to be this acceptance of results. And we've heard that not just from him, but, you know, numerous corporations and leaders. And the crux of it is, you know, businesses need that continuously. They need to know that they can start planning for for policies under a new government, that they can be sure that they can go ahead with their plans, knowing that there will be this peaceful transition in status quo and that, you know, there isn't this unexpected event that they need to then plan for. And so having this process go and continue smoothly is critical to not just the political transition to power, but the ability of corporate America to also continue its business.
And Caitlin, obviously lots of condemnation about what happened, but also some calls for substantial action.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen organizations like the National Association of Manufacturers even say that they need to look at invoking the 25th Amendment, which would essentially put the vice president in charge if it winds up being necessary to ensure that we have the normal handoff of powers from President Trump to President-elect Biden. And so you have some people who are very clearly concerned that, you know, it's not just a matter of we need to continue this process, but we might need to take even stronger measures to ensure that it happens and the transfer of power can actually occur.
Caitlin Ostroff, thank you.
Thanks so much.
There was also reaction from world leaders, including French President Emmanuel Macron.
What happened today in Washington, D.C. is not America. Definitely. We believe in the strength of our democracies. We believe in the strength of American democracy.
Today, German Chancellor Angela Merkel welcomed Congress's confirmation of Joe Biden as the next U.S. president as a victory for democracy and said President Trump bore responsibility for the violent riot by his supporters in Washington overnight. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson, a longtime Trump ally, had tweeted after the violence, calling the scenes, quote, disgraceful. Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi, who is the leader of the world's largest democracy, said he was distressed about the rioting. And from Japan, the chief government spokesman said he had hoped that American democracy will, quote, overcome these difficult circumstances and restore social order and cooperation, and that a peaceful and democratic transition of power will proceed. And that's what's news for Thursday. We'll be keeping track of all of the developments from Washington, D.C. throughout the day on WSJ.com and the Journal app. And our team will be back with a new podcast this evening. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.